This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in live nationwide and around the world to Ron Sedgy Today, smack dab in the middle of September. And on our show this week, my first guest is the Hurricane Man, Josh Morgerman, whose TV show is going to be on the Science Channel. Later on, Academy Award winner Bryan Cranston will be joining us. On September 23rd, Ray Charles will have turned 89 years old. And his son is here, Ray Charles Jr., to talk about his book about his dad. Next hour, author Dave Barry would be on the program. Then we have astronaut Mike Massimino. Mike was with us a couple of weeks ago when we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk. He's such a good guest, we had him back. My Cat from Hell is a new show on Animal Planet with Jackson Galaxy. And we'll be talking insurance with Sean Sotero. And that's all coming up the next 2 hours with Ron Sedgy Today. We'll be right back with Josh Morgerman. He's the Hurricane Man. Is your business taking advantage of one of the most valuable assets to advertise? Your company vehicles? Well, if not, you should. The least expensive way of promoting your business is with SignZoo, the full-service graphic professionals. From design to installation, your vehicles will shine with your logo, services, phone number, website information, and more as it goes down the road. And we aren't talking about paint. We're talking about the latest, most popular, inexpensive, and easily changeable graphic wraps. Why go through the expense of painting your message when SignZoo can wrap it? SignZoo's licensed, insured, and professional graphic designers service the country nationwide, and their warranty is the best in the industry. Your entire vehicle becomes the most effective form of outdoor advertising. Cars, trucks, buses, boats, SignZoo can wrap them all, and 100% satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit their website today at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com, the leader in vehicle advertising and color changes for over two decades.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Not a loan company.
We are live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Sedgy Today. Well, I want to start the show this week with a show that's going to be premiering this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. It's a two-hour premiere, and then it will air every Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific Time on Science Channel. And in lieu of everything that has happened in the news about the weather of late, and certainly where I originate this show in Florida, this is a very topical and important subject, and the show is terrific. Joining us right now, he's referred to as the Hurricane Man. I love that title. Veteran storm chaser Josh Morgerman. Hi, Josh. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we talk about hurricanes, how you got interested in this? Because you really love chasing storms.
Yeah. No, and it's and I love that title, to be honest. I didn't come up with it. I was like, yeah, I just embraced it when the show like picked that title. I was like, yeah. So I was born this way. I don't remember when this obsession started. You know, I grew up on Long Island on the East Coast, and I just remember when I was a little kid, whenever a hurricane would come up toward the islands, I would just get this, like, reaction, you know, as the trees would wave and the houses would start to shake. I just would get this, like, almost like a drug-like reaction to it, you know, and I've had it my whole life, and my whole life is basically just hunting that feeling again and again, you know, and going after storms, and yeah, I don't know why it is. If you told me when I was 15 that I'd eventually be called Hurricane Man, I would have, that would have blown my mind.
There is an indeed very obvious danger to this. Do you ever take that into consideration? Because you are chasing something that the news media tells everybody to evacuate, get out of the way, and you're going into it.
Oh, absolutely. I think as a storm chaser, and the kind of storm chasing I do, which is pretty hardcore, you know, I'm going all around the world, sometimes into developing countries, and hunting down very intense storms, like what we call Cat 5. and I wrestle with the mortality thing all the time, you know, and I always say chaser dudes have nine lives, and I've definitely used a couple of them. You know, I've had some brushes along the way all these years, you know, but I've always managed to come through. But yeah, I think about it constantly. And listen, fear is a part of this game, you know, it absolutely is. But here's the deal, no matter how scared I am, I'm always just a little more curious and fascinated than I am scared, and that's what drives me forward.
Now, have you ever gone in the eye of the storm on a plane?
No, I have not done that. The thing that specifically excites me or that I find the most fascinating is the experience on the ground as a hurricane, which is a coastal storm, collides with land as it comes ashore, that collision. That, to me, is just the wow moment in a storm's life cycle, and I like to document that from on the ground.
It's funny because I think a lot of people are of the impression that when a plane goes in, it's exceedingly dangerous, and it is dangerous, but I think it's more dangerous doing what you do, where you're chasing it and you're exposed to all the elements like somebody who's in the path of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being on the ground during a hurricane is definitely very dangerous, especially like the very intense ones. And what's interesting is we've been flying, our National Weather Service has been flying planes into hurricanes since the 40s to collect data. And, you know, and if you look at statistically, it looks like it's pretty safe because they get through it all the time, you know, and no one ever dies. Although they do hit sometimes they have hit some very bad turbulence, and there have been some rough and harrowing missions over the years.
Tell us about the show. Now, you will go all around the world, as you said earlier, chasing these things. I mean, you have been to all corners of the world, Japanese cities, jungles of Philippines, the coastal waters of the American Deep South, and the Pacific shoreline of Mexico. Now, when you hear about a hurricane coming, you fly to these areas then right away to see if you can be part of the pursuit?
Exactly. And actually, it's before I even hear about them. So I use, like a lot of storm chasers, I use computer models to kind of see into the future. The computer models are like the storm chasers or the weather forecasters' crystal ball. They show you what might happen in the future. And so the computer models will actually sniff these things out far in advance of when you'll start hearing, like, for example, the folks on TV talking about them. So I'm constantly during the season looking at these computer models, trying to figure out, okay, where am I going next? Am I going to Taiwan? Am I going to Mexico? And then I go hunt them. So the show is like this. So wherever a hurricane or a typhoon is hitting, and a typhoon is the same thing as a hurricane, that's just what they call it in East Asia, I go hunt it down. One crew follows me as I get into the center to collect data on my dangerous mission. Another crew embeds with a local family to get the experience of normal people facing this crisis. And then a third crew embeds with emergency services as they're performing rescues. So what you get is this cool sort of 360 look at a hurricane as it's striking a town in, you know, Japan or the U.S. or wherever. And it's cool. It's like, so it's also like a travel show, kind of, because each episode is just in a totally new place on Earth.
You actually go into the eye of this thing on the ground?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And that's dangerous, of course, because the eye is calm, but the worst part of a hurricane is in the circle around the eye. It's called the eye wall, and that's where the really crazy winds happen. So to get into that eye, which is where all the really interesting data are, in order to get into that eye, you've got to get through the worst part of the hurricane, and then you've got to come out the other side as well.
We just had Dorian here in the news, and of course, everybody in Florida, and as I mentioned before, I'm in Central Florida, in Orlando, running to the stores for water and everything else. I think what happens, and I don't know if this is something to blame, because you have to do it. If you don't pre-warn people, then if something happens, there's a great liability on the media. But boy, they start weeks in advance. I mean, I was in Pennsylvania like 2 weeks before I came back home, and they were talking about this storm, and then at the last minute, it's gone. I think a lot of times what happens is that when these things don't happen as the weather forecasters on TV claim it's going to happen, there's a little bit of doubt the next time. And what I'm worried about is one of these days the general public's going to say, not this again, and it's going to hit. I mean, there's a danger in that, is there not? I mean, what do you do? Do you warn the people and then back off? Do you wait later till you see where these curves are going to be? What's your opinion? You're the pro.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I'll tell you, I don't envy the guys at the National Hurricane Center who have to make these forecasts because of the exact issues that you point out. It's like they're very aware of the issues here that you're talking about, the whole crying wolf syndrome, you know, and I think they wrestle with it constantly. And I think Dorian was an especially tough case because the computer models, there are different computer models, and they were all showing something else. They weren't matching. And when the computer models are all showing different things, it makes forecasting really hard. And that was a challenging one. And yeah, I'm sure that there's a couple of people who, you know, probably next time around, they might be a little bit, you know, blasé. But you know what? I still think that it's best to err on that side than to have a Category 4 plowing into Florida with, like, almost no notice.
Well, I agree with that 100%. And right now, I guess there's something brewing in North Africa, but they're still talking about it, and they said, you know, it's about a week and a half away. It would be nice if they just waited a little bit because, you know, some people in a motorhome someplace, I mean, they could have a heart attack 3 days before the thing even struck just by the fear they put in them. There's the old saying from the Weather Channel that if Jim Cantoni comes to your town, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah. There's so much information out there, and folks have access to it, like computer models. You have people who don't even know what the computer models are and what they mean and how they work and how to interpret them, looking at them and making their own forecasts. And this is information that was not available to the general public 20 years ago. Now it is. Anyone can just find it on the Internet. And so there's this overload of information, and one of the problems is that you have people talking about things, you know, storms in Africa that really have no relevance to what's happening in Florida. Yes, perhaps in the future they might, but they don't now. But as you said, but needlessly scaring people. And I'll tell you, a lot of the scariest stuff is rumors. Like, I see people, like sort of amateur forecasters, posting computer models showing big hurricanes hitting Florida that are just, it's one computer model, one run, doesn't mean anything, but they're posting it like it's a forecast, and that creates hysteria because other people who see that don't understand that that's just doesn't mean anything.
Well, and for our friends listening out west in California, there's hurricanes there too, so it's not a thing that is just indicative of the East Coast, is it not?
Well, actually, in the United States, it is only the East Coast. I actually live in L.A., and there's one known instance of a hurricane getting up to Southern California. It happened in 1858. But otherwise, California is safe from them mostly because the water off of California is quite cold. Now, the west coast of Mexico, below us, they get big hurricanes.
Where do you find the cameramen for this? You might have this great passion, but where do you find the cameramen that have that?
Well, that was like one of the biggest, I think, challenges for this show. So when the producers, you know, they decided to do the show and I'm going to be the lead and all that, they had to find the crew. And it's actually a British show. I'm American, but the rest of the show, the cast is British. And they had to find, three director/cameramen to do the work. And I think, you know, they tried to find ones that were really into adventure and everything. But even then, I remember flying to London to meet them, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm meeting these British hurricane virgins. You know, they've never, you know, and the Brits don't get the weather like we do.
Right.
You know, in North America, we get crazy weather, get tornadoes, hurricanes. They don't get anything. They get drizzle. So I had to kind of teach them, okay, this is what might happen. And then we're in these hurricanes. And here's the deal, though. They all did a great job. I mean, they all went through Category 5 Hurricane Michael in the Florida Panhandle, and they got good shots. They did their jobs. They didn't freak out. They came through.
That's great. It's a two-hour premiere airing at a special time, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, coming up Sundays. And the remaining season will air Sundays at 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific on the Science Channel. It is called Hurricane Man, and it stars veteran storm chaser and our guest, Josh Morgerman. Hey, Josh, you got to come back and join us again. This show, I know you premiered another season earlier in the summer, is a great program, and we invite you to be our guest in the future, okay?
Well, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Josh. There's a brave man, I want you to know.
It was a fun show. Thank you.
And there's more to come with Ron Sedgie today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to blackriflerealestate.com. That's blackriflerealestate.com.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. There's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
I'm Ron Sedgie. We're back live. And our next guest has done so many things in this business. He's earned himself 3 Emmy nominations and a Golden Globe nomination. And he's won 2 Emmys, the latest for the 62nd Annual Primetime Emmy Awards. Joining us right on our show, right, sound like it's Sullivan, is Brian Cranston. Hi, Brian. How are you?
That's a really, really big show today.
Right here on our stage, ladies and gentlemen. But hey, welcome to the show. And congratulations on all the success that you have garnered over the years. That's terrific.
Yeah, well, it's I'm living the life. I'm telling you, I'm so lucky. I thought Malcolm in the Middle was a well-written show, and it was, and it's had such a great 7 years on that. And Breaking Bad comes along, and I'm having a time of my life.
But you know, you are seen on so many shows. It's unbelievable. I mean, you're Tim Watley, the dentist on Seinfeld.
Right.
You were on The King of Queens. You were the neighbor, right?
I was a crazy neighbor.
Crazy neighbor. And then serious things like I enjoyed your work portraying the honor of Buzz Aldrin from the Earth to the Moon.
Right.
Also, Little Miss Sunshine on the big screen. But there was one thing that you did that I...
No,
it was good. It was great. It just touched a chord in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That thing you do. Okay, and you know why it touched a chord in my heart?
No.
Or do you care?
Well, the general consensus is basically that you're heartless, so that's interesting that...
that's a nice shot. Bada-bing. But anyway, I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, where that show originally was supposed to have taken place.
I see. It all comes clear now. That was a sweet film, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And the radio station that they reference, I worked at for many, many years.
No kidding.
Yeah, in fact, I ended up selling a radio station that I owned that market to my old boss. And so it hit a lot of chords with me. It really did.
Back in the day, Ron, in Erie, Pennsylvania, did you develop like the radio voice?
Oh,
the
sure.
Boss joy? Did you?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you do that for us?
You want me to do that for you right now?
A little taste.
Okay, all right. Let me see if I can do that. Hi, everybody. Welcome into the show today. I'm Ronnie G, and it's 27 degrees outside, and here's the brand new one by Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds. Hey! I haven't done that in 30-some years.
Those were the days, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Well,
you still got it.
It's like riding a bicycle. You never lose it. You know, I go out with a girl, you know, when you're a dish jockey. And I started when I was 14. You're sitting there having dinner or something at McDonald's or some fancy place. And they'll say, well, you don't sound like you do on the radio.
Right.
Well, what do you want me to say? It's 27 degrees outside. I mean, you know, I'm a regular person.
That's true.
But let's talk about you. Thank you for mentioning
that. Well, you know, it's funny. You did a great voice there, and I had an interview this morning with NPR. And, of course, you drop your register and
yes.
You talk more serious and slow and low tones,
yes.
You know, to fit that audience.
You did that. That is absolutely true. Because
yeah.
You know, I had to do some things on the public broadcasting station when I was a disc jockey, and I'd go from that pace to... And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's raise some funds for public broadcasting.
Yeah,
same thing.
Indeed.
Breaking Bad, what a huge show, and you did such a great job in it. 65 shows you did. That's terrific.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You know, I mentioned in the introduction your versatility, and I really meant it. I mean, you really have the ability to switch in any role that you want to do, whether it's serious or whether it's comedic, and you were from a family of show business people, weren't you?
Yeah, my mom and dad met in an acting class back in the late 40s after the war.
Right, that's what they told you, Brian.
That's what they, yeah. That's an acting class?
What were you acting? Yes. I'm sorry. I never interrupt a guest. Oh,
and,
very bad move.
And my dad, you know, was an actor for most of his early career, and then he just got tired of it. You know, it's a very tough business where you have to feel very secure about what you're doing because there's long periods of unemployment. And so I was raised with that, and I guess that helped me to accept that this is a very up and down business. And so when you are working, you need to save your money like a church mouse. And I don't know how actually church mice save money.
In the rectory's cheese.
Yes, I don't know if that, so. But that's what you would have to do, and in order to sustain your lifestyle, so that you can stay working as an actor.
It's funny about the general public, and I'm sure that you've run into this, is that when you have so much success on a show that now is syndicated, whether it's be Malcolm in the Middle or Seinfeld mm-hmm. or The King of Queens, people think that you're still working.
Well, right.
You know, they think you're like Billy DeWolf from the old days, busy, you know,
and
you could be sitting home on a couch somewhere.
Yeah. It's a body of work that you've done in the past.
Right.
This is my 30th year as a professional actor, so I've been around a little while.
And you're good. Now, I understand that an earlier interest that you had was in law enforcement.
Yeah, I went to college studying administration of justice. I was going to be a cop.
That's a tough business. Anybody thinks that's not...
Yeah, it is. I have utmost respect for the law enforcement community. In fact, I'm also a spokesperson for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Oh, good.
I go back to Washington, D.C. every year, and we honor these law enforcement personnel from all areas and in the true heroes who have literally saved children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a treat to meet these guys and to realize that there's the true work of God.
Yeah, one night I had the opportunity of riding with a sheriff for like 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got home, I was exhausted because nobody knows what goes on at 3 o'clock in the morning. Brian, let's go back a few years to Breaking Bad. When you first saw that script, what did you think?
Yeah, when I first read the pilot script for Breaking Bad, it was so well written that alone was the impetus for me to get in there and meet with Vince Gilligan, who wrote it, and to see if I can get on board with this. When he told me what his plans were, I was shocked because this has never happened in the history of series television, and that is to start a character from the beginning of the series
mm-hmm.
as one way, and through the course of justifiable occurrences, they completely change the character to another person.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
See the transformation of this milquetoast, sweet, kind of flabby high school chemistry teacher become a murderous drug kingpin.
Oh, I tell you, I never thought of it that way. It is a transition. I mean, it's a transformation, if you will.
It is.
I think you hit it right on the head. You also have a very resonant voice. Did you ever do radio work other than the NPR station?
No.
Because you have a good voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rob. Well,
thank you very much.
I used to, when I was first starting as an actor, I used to do a lot of dubbing. So Japanese anime would come in or foreign films would come in and they have a sale in the United States, but it would have to be in English, so we would dub them into English. I did, you know, there was a movie out called like Water for Chocolate from Mexico.
Sure.
I did the voice of the young hero,
really?
In the English version, yeah, and then things like that I would do.
That's very cool.
Yeah, cool.
Immediately, you know, somebody's going to be a good guest because, you know, you can have fun with them. They don't give you a yes, no answer, and I could have you on every week, so starting next week, our guest will be Bryan Cranston.
Correct. Thank you,
in his reoccurring role.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. We'll be
Thanks
watching.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Good guy. I always enjoy when he is here. He can do very serious work and do very comedic work and be equally acceptable by the general public with both. Bryan Cranston, we invite you to check out our website, ronsegi.com, ronsegi.com. When you get to the home page, there's an icon that says Listen Live and hear our latest show on demand 24/7. We'll be right back with
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVice.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Trump pledged to protect the Second Amendment just hours after huddling with top advisors to discuss gun control measures he might be willing to publicly stand behind.
We had a big meeting today on guns. Both meetings went very well. A lot of progress was made, I believe, on the background checks and various things having to do with guns. We're dealing with the Democrats, and I think we're dealing very well. It seems like they'd like to do something. And I think that I can speak for Republicans. They'd like to do something, but I want to make it clear. Our Second Amendment will be protected fully.
Trump's comments came after he was briefed on a list of potential gun control measures that his aides, members of Congress, and Capitol Hill staffers have been discussing and that there appears to be a broad internal agreement on. A formal announcement on the president's plan is expected as soon as next week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me.
are back live all across the USA and around the world, and our next guest and I have a couple of things in common. Aside from the fact that we both follow Richard Petty's career during his heyday as the king of the NASCAR circuit, he loves that song, I love that song, and we both love the man who sang it. Joining us right now is the son of the great Ray Charles Robinson Jr. Hello, Ray. How are you, my friend?
Thank you so much, Ron, for having me on your show.
Well, I have to tell you something. In the 6 decades that I've been in the music business,
yes,
I always wanted to see your dad. I saw Elvis. I saw Sinatra. I saw Paul McCartney. The man I wanted to see, and I never got a chance to, was your father. He was the best. He was the best.
Yeah, well, you missed something in concert. You truly missed something, but his music still lives.
Oh, it lives, and it was just as great today. It's like fine wine. But, Ray, I want to thank you for writing this book, which is entitled You Don't Know Me, one of your favorite songs, as it is mine, of your dad.
Yes.
This book is it, warts and all, isn't it, Ray?
Well, I believe that it is a great intimate look, my personal intimate look of my father, our family, our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything, you know, You Don't Know Me is everything that you did not see in the movie Ray or read about in my father's memoir, Brother Ray. So I believe that you and the readers and the fans will come to understand his triumphs, his accomplishments in a new, complete way.
And, Ray, it was a very different life, wasn't it? I mean, the persona that we saw on stage, he was warm to you and his children, but yet there were times where he was standoffish. We know, of course, of some of the problems that he had. When you saw his problems early on in life, you couldn't understand it. I mean, you went to Whittier College, same college that President Nixon went to.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, you fell into the same trap that he fell into.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to be so descriptive about that night that I stepped into that house. It was like the precept, where they collected souls. And for, you know, that was really knowing yourself, going against yourself, and it was a bad decision. And I knew that the moment that I did that, it was almost like I was talking to the devil himself.
You know, I'm familiar with that area of California, and you are a very good writer because you vividly explained how you went up Laurel Canyon Road, and you feel like you are really there. Some of these items we knew about Ray. We knew he flew an airplane. I knew he was in an accident with his Corvette. But I didn't realize that he used to put together the Christmas toys on Christmas morning. He loved that, and
yes,
that he fixed his own airplane one time.
Yes, he did, and you know that was one of his main things. He loved to hear the joy from us on Christmas morning, and hearing us open the presents, and that was a main story that I wrote about. You know, when he came out of rehab, the morning that I just sat on the stairs and I watched him and listened to him as he sang Christmas carols to himself, and.
Oh.
After he had put a new 10-speed under the tree, and he was running his hands over the tree and singing to himself, and I guess that particular Christmas, his soul, his mind, and his body were at peace, and his soul came back with joy, and I had a chance to experience that when everybody else was asleep that morning.
That is a great story, Ray. I got to tell you something, and especially the part where you scared him when he went after the cookies. But that was a great, great story. It truly was.
It's not coming.
Oh, wow. You can almost see that. Now, you talk about a very frightening experience because he used to go into his office, and you didn't go in there unless you knocked on the door. But one very frightening situation that you saw where he cut himself and almost lost his life.
Yeah, you know, that was a turning point in his life, though, I believe. And I believe that was a godsend. And even if he didn't recognize it at the time, I think he recognized it the day that he made a decision to go into rehab. But let me explain to you, there wouldn't have been a story beyond that night if I had not disobeyed my mother and gotten out of bed because I heard noises coming from his office. And I heard them before. I just truly believe God had intervened in his life and given him another chance, and you truly get a chance to feel that and live that.
There's no question about it that he lived a full life, but when I go back, and I know the story so well because I really did love your dad, I really did. In my mind, as it is in millions of people around the world, he was a genius. There's no question about it. I have a friend of mine by the name of Tony Gumino. Do you know Tony?
Tony?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, Tony had shown me some footage one time of him in his recording studio, how he would walk around in that studio like he knew everything where everything was.
Well, he did.
And it was amazing that he came down here to Florida when he was only 7 or 8 years old to go to this blind school. I mean, he just had a life that was so full of experiences that I don't think the normal person, the person that didn't have the drive and the confidence and everything that he had, could have done. I couldn't have done it.
Well, you know, he felt that, you know, he wasn't blind. He just felt that he could not see, and he wanted to experience everything that life had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And he approached a lot of things as if he couldn't see, but I think there were limits to his sight. But there weren't many. And typical example, me sharing, I mean, I have the same story, which is in my book. I talk about him bringing me into his life and sharing the studio with me and teaching me about music, what to listen for and the notes, why he would sing a verse the way he would sing it, and listening to his voice. I mean, was in, you know, it was almost like I was in a trance. I was listening to his music and listening to how he made that music before it ever went on the shelves. And that was a truly, truly enriching experience. And it also was our relationship through the music, which we shared over the years.
Incredible, incredible insight to what you saw. You talk about the fact, and again, I go back to your writing skills, about just touching his face and explaining how his face was with kind of a day-old beard and kind of a rough, leathery skin. It's written very, very well, Ray, I want to tell you.
I truly appreciate that. I just wanted to be there. This is a story about my mother as well.
Sure it is, yes.
About her strength and her holding this family together during the turbulence in which they experience, okay? It's a true testament to her and her love for him and what she tried to do with her family to get him to settle down. And even though it may not have been a fairy tale ending, it almost was.
You talk about the ending. It was a sad ending, though, as far as your ability to take part in the funeral and everything, because there was a Mr. Adams who stood in the way of a lot of things that was very close to him from a business standpoint. And towards the end of the book, when I got to that part, I almost resented him.
Well, I would say this. I feel sorry for him that he had to do that to his to Ray Charles' family.
Yes.
I feel that my father didn't know him the way he thought. And for him to... For our family to be under lock and key, we cannot have our own private memorial. For us to be locked out and learn about our father's death on national television. And we're not, I was never called. So, you know, that's for the public to judge him. Okay, it's not for me to do it. And, you know, it's sad. And I feel sorry for him that he even had to feel that he had to exercise that kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
We're talking to Ray Charles Robinson, Jr., the son of the genius of Ray Charles. And Ray Charles, Jr. has a new book out. I have it right here in my hand. You Don't Know Me from, of course, the song of the same name. And we're going to pause for just a second, but we will be back with more. And Ray Charles, Jr., don't go away.
You give your hand to me. Then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating slow, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me.
No, you don't know me.
No, you don't know the one who dreams of you at night.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn
Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at St.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through.
And that's the man who had more soul and a baby finger than people have in their entire body. The genius of Ray Charles. We're talking to his son, Ray Charles Robinson Jr. He has a brand new book out about his dad called You Don't Know Me, and I got to tell you something. This is a terrific book. He's a great young man, and he talks about everything in this book. Ray Charles Jr. is our guest. It's a great book, though, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. Talks about priorities. Your dad had what you talk about, three priorities. This may sound cold and callous. For some reason, you forgive Ray Charles for having these priorities. His music, his family was actually third, you said.
You know, but music, I don't excuse the infidelities, but I understand what he was looking for in those infidelities. And so understanding that, you have to forgive him, because I don't think he understood really what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand that he was searching. And, you know, I want the public to know that he loved his family deeply. He was a great man with great insight. He truly believed in us, and he believed in me, and he loved me, and he loved his family.
I tell you what, you are very lucky to have that name. You really are. My dear late friend Ed McMahon told me of a story that I watched on TV. Oh, yeah, and he loved your dad. And I got to tell you, I saw the night on The Tonight Show where he berated a drummer, and afterwards Carson came to him and he says, Ray, there's a drummer that's looking for an apology. And he said, I'll tell you what. He says, bring the whole band out there, because when I apologize to the drummer for berating him on television, I berated him in front of the band, I will apologize to him in front of the band. That's the kind of guy Ray Charles was.
Yes, that's right. And he loved his fans, as I stated before. They loved him. It was a true love affair with them. And that was his lifeblood. That was the air that he breathed. And that was his muse. And I understood why that came first. It had to. He wouldn't have been able to survive without it.
He was the best. He really was.
Yes, he was.
And I congratulate you. I failed to mention in the introduction that you are an independent film producer, co-produced Ray Charles' 50 Years of Music, along with co-producing Ray. And Ray, I want to tell you, if you ever come to Florida, please let me know. I would love to be your friend.
I truly appreciate the warm welcome of this book, and I had questions about it before, but I truly, in something negative, there's always something positive if you're looking for that. And I think that they found something even greater, his humanity, and I think that I'm good with that.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you very much.
And you're a good writer, too, and I got to tell you something, no matter what they say, if there's some negative things about a man's life, you just look over him because he gave so much to everybody. I mean,
the point is of this is that we all made mistakes.
That's right.
And forgiveness at the end of the day is what it's all about.
Yep, you're absolutely correct.
He forgave me and I forgave him. And God forgives all. So, I mean, forgiveness is the message. And if you know the perils of something, you don't have to, it's about good decisions and bad decisions at the end of the day. And I'm here, and I've been fruitful, and I'm blessed, and I hope this book blesses someone else.
Well, I tell you what, it certainly did me. The name of the book is You Don't Know Me, of course, The Reflections of My Father, Ray Charles, taken after that great song that I just absolutely love, but it's one of many.
It is a great, let me tell you.
You know, I'm a singer, and I sing that song, and I got to tell you something. I sit back, and I think to myself, if I could only sing it like the man, because nobody can.
Nobody can sing. It like that.
When you're a singer, you got to be a real fool to do a cover of a Ray Charles song.
Well, I'm sure he would appreciate the thought.
Well, thank you, Ray. And again, if you're down in Orlando, let us know. We'd love to have you come down here.
Thank you so much for your warm welcome.
Oh, it's from the heart. You Don't Know Me. It's out in bookstores right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a must read from Ray Charles Robinson Jr., the son of the genius of Ray Charles.
And they can go to www.raycharlesjr.com.
Oh, that sounds great, and we will do that. Thanks, Ray.
I appreciate your time. Fantastic. I truly appreciate your warm welcome, and this is fantastic. I truly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. Have
Bye-bye.
A great day.
Ray Charles Jr. has been our guest, talking about his legendary dad, Ray Charles. And we're going to play a little production that we made specially for this interview to kind of top things off after talking to Ray Charles Jr., and this is a tribute to his dad, Brother Ray. And there is one musical legend that has never been imitated. Why? Because it's impossible. No other talent has the ability to portray the feeling deep within, like the genius of Brother Ray.
Georgia. Georgia.
He was born Ray Charles Robinson on September 23rd, 1930, in Albany, Georgia, and grew up in Greenville, Florida. At the age of 5, Ray began to lose his sight. By age 6, he was completely blind from glaucoma. His mother sent him to the St. Augustine School for the Deaf and Blind, where he studied classical music composition in Braille. When his mother died in 1946, he left school to play in various Florida dance bands. At the end of 1947, no longer using his last name, Ray moved to Seattle, Washington.
Born to lose.
In 1949, Ray signed a deal with Jack Lauderdale Swingtime Records out of Los Angeles. His first single release was Confession Blues. Early in 1951, Ray hit the rhythm and blues charts in a big way. His record of Baby Let Me Hold Your Hand charted at number 7. Around this time, Ray signed with Atlantic Records and toured New Orleans, where he worked with Guitar Slim as arranger and keyboardist.
Oh, it's crying time.
When Ray signed with ABC Paramount Records in 1959, he was an immensely popular and well-respected recording artist. But within his first 3 years at ABC, Ray Charles was able to stretch both his creative genius and break the cultural boundaries that entrapped many black artists of the time. In 1962, Ray Charles did something no one else did. Fused country and western music with soul.
Unchain my heart.
In fact, Ray Charles is the only artist that can combine rock, soul, country, rhythm and blues, and swing together and make it work.
You give your hand to me.
Nobody in the history of contemporary music makes you feel the lyrics quite like Ray Charles. If greatness, genius, and style makes a musical legend, then there is only one that stands the highest on that mountain. And that one is Ray Charles.
Hey, mama, don't you treat me wrong. Come and love me, daddy, all night long, all night long. Hey, hey, all right.
I'm Ron Sedgie with the Rock and Roll Legend.
See the girl with the diamond ring. She knows how to shake that thing all right now, now.
Going to pause, but we'll be right back with more.
Unchain my heart. Baby, let me be. Unchain my heart. 'Cause you don't care about me.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
RV, truck, or boat look faded or perhaps has some minor surface scratches? Painting a vehicle is very expensive and permanent. That's why I recommend SignZoo. SignZoo is the nation's premier vinyl design and wrap company. A 3M vinyl wrap can outlive a painted vehicle by years, and it can be removed at any time without damaging the original finish. Licensed, insured, the best warranty in the business, and over 20 years experience is just a few reasons to choose SignZoo. Whether a wrap to promote your business or change the color of your car, RV, truck, or boat, a vinyl wrap is less expensive and more versatile than paint. And remember, SignZoo services the country nationwide for your convenience. Visit their website today at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com. And get ready for a brand new look.
That wraps up hour number one of Ron Sedgy today, but we have another hour to go, and I want to thank my guests this first hour, the Hurricane Man, Josh Morgeman, Brian Cranston, and Ray Charles Jr. Next hour, a funny author, great guy, does terrific books, Dave Barry is going to be joining us, astronaut Mike Massimino is coming back on the show, as I mentioned earlier, he was with us last month, I believe it was, or sometime in July, talking about the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk. He's a great, great person, so we had him back. And then Jackson Galaxy will be joining us with a new show that he's going to be talking about called My Cat from Hell. And Sean Scatero will be here. We're going to be talking about insurance. And that's all coming up next hour with Ron Sedgy today.